Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Hi, everyone. Today, I'm going to be talking about a topic that I'm very passionate about, and that is on living wholehearted. And it's a topic I've talked about quite a bit on this podcast, but I wanted to go through the differences between perfectionism and living wholehearted, because I think that perfectionism just creeps in really quickly, because any good thing sort of can get distorted when we don't have awareness around, oh, that's perfectionism, versus actually living wholehearted. So we can look at all of the emotional health tools. We can learn so much about how to live a healthy life, and almost like we can put that on a pedestal where we have to become perfect at living wholehearted and perfect at doing all of these emotionally and spiritually healthy tools correctly. And we can find ourselves kind of twisting and distorting a good thing into the realm of perfectionism. So I'll first start by defining perfectionism and defining what living wholehearted is. And a lot of my referencing comes from Dr. Brené Brown. She really did a lot of research around the topic of shame, and like so many people wanted to avoid that topic because it's not a fun topic to explore. But she did all this research around shame and looked at like all the people who had the strongest shame resilience, and kind of wrote down all of the ingredients that they had, and kind of came up with a list of what it means to be wholehearted. And she talks about having a spiritual awakening, and she actually became a Christian through her research, because she realized like most of the people who embody these wholehearted attributes are Christians. Because I think some of the aspects and qualities are around how we deal with uncertainty and faith, and belief in something beyond yourself. So today I'm really digging into the topic because I think growing up in church culture, I see a lot of perfectionism that we're not fully aware that it's perfectionism. And I think I would have said that I'm not a perfectionist at all. Like, I never thought I was a perfectionist until the last 5 years, where I really dug into a lot of why I people please and why I just sort of had rules for the way that I thought you're supposed to live life was really connected to perfectionism. And I'll use this example, something that I think is a good thing and something I believe that is an empowering thought is thinking through, like, how do I want to show up in this situation? Like, if you're in a conflict or in a challenge with someone, we can think, how am I going to show up well? How am I going to show up loving? How am I going to show up kind, but also firm? Like, we can think about how we want to show up. And I think that that's actually really powerful. But I remember in the early days, one of my clients really struggled with perfectionism and performance. And I asked the question, because I think it's a great question, like, how do you want to show up in this situation that she was dealing with? And she actually felt real anxiety when I asked that question, which was valid. And she told me, like, I think that I live my life so consumed on like wanting to show up well that I feel almost like that it's crushing me, that it's a weight that I can never fully live up to and never be perfect and show up well all the time. And it's something like I'm constantly reminded to that, because that was probably like 8 years ago when I first started life coaching that she sort of brought that up. And I remember feeling a deeper revelation of why she felt that way, because I probably was revealed all my perfectionism when I became a leader, because you hear people how they criticize leadership and how you never want to be one of those leaders that people are criticizing and talking about. And then you can feel the weight of expectation of like, oh, I don't want to, you know, hurt people being a leader. I don't want to make a mistake. And then that's how I noticed like my perfectionism sort of manifested, because we can hear so much about how people do it the wrong way. And then we're like, oh, when I do that, I would never want to do that. But what I've learned is we're all actually prone to not be perfect and not do it well. And I wanted to create this podcast and really talk about when we don't do it well, and the difference between perfectionism and wholehearted living. And I think that sometimes we can almost like in the realm of like, oh, I don't want to be this perfect person and this good girl and this perfect goody two shoes, we can almost like just be the opposite of like being rebellious. But I always think that there's a higher way of existing in the world that is human and beautiful and not and okay when you get it wrong, like when you are failing and letting people down, like learning how to be a soft place for yourself to land when you can't possibly meet everybody's needs around you and when you are failing. And so this podcast, I'm dedicating to my past self, because whether you guys relate to it or not, I think this is the sort of podcast that I would have liked to hear 4 years ago. And so, yeah, I'm going to dive in and start with defining what perfectionism is versus wholehearted living is, and we'll go from there. So like I mentioned, perfectionism is sneaky, because I think a lot of us have a desire to be the best that we can be, to show up well, to have high standards and live a life that is reaching our fullest potential and all of those things. But I remember hearing someone say, sometimes the idol in our life is the ideal perfect version of ourselves that we feel like we should be. And it can become like a golden calf, like this idol of perfectionism of like, once I'm that person, then I will be whole. Then I will be worthy of love. Then I'll be accepted. Then I'll prove people wrong. And I think in Christianity, there's a lot of like distortion, because we want to be like Jesus, and almost like we become like this performance into being this person that's like Jesus. But ultimately, it's a gift that you receive. It's not something that you earn or you prove. But I think with our lack, because it's such an abstract sometimes concept to really fully grasp salvation and our identity in Christ, that we almost become performers of it. And so that's why it's really sneaky. It can look like beautiful Christian behavior, but it's actually not authentic. And so anyway, to go into the definition, perfectionism is really like living under the law, trying to earn worth, love, and security, whereas wholeheartedness flows from love. And I really believe like we want to live under the law of love, where you already belong, and so you can show up honestly, vulnerably, and free. And I think perfectionism is really others-based, and so it's really focused on how other people perceive me, versus wholeheartedness is coming from an intrinsic sense of self and self-worth of like, you're actually in your embodied experience. What do you think of you, and what does God think of you? But also like, you're not as concerned with how other people receive you. A big thing in church culture is like excellence. And people will often say, we really want this to be excellent, but then they're exhausted, they're burnt out, they're holding a lot of resentment towards people who aren't helping out as much as them. And to me, that's when you know it's actually your imperfectionism versus excellence. And because excellence actually knows the boundaries, like especially if you're like serving in church, like there's often like not a lot of budget and not a lot of hands to help. And so you can only really do what you've been given. Like, and so if you're choosing to go over and above, that's awesome. But there has to be this humility of like, oh, I'm not going to hold resentment towards other people if they don't have capacity to give that. And so excellence is really focused on you. Like you're focusing on what are my boundaries? What can I give to this situation? I want to give over and above, but I'm not holding resentment and judging and being bitter towards other people if they don't choose to do that. You're really not focused on what other people are doing. You're just focused on what your intention is and what your boundaries are. And so I think that excellence comes from an intrinsic, like this is a core value system of how I want to show up, but I don't want to go into judgment and gossip and criticism of other people. Because I'm really in my worth, in my value system. Whereas perfectionism, you'll often be criticizing other people for the lack of help they're bringing, or they should be doing more and I'm left carrying everything. And you go into that headspace. And so I think that there are so many areas in our life where we can become quite perfectionistic. And I really feel it's helpful to kind of like, even if we go back to the Garden of Eden. And so we have, you know, God says to Adam and Eve, don't pick from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I think because God always knew that we would be a terrible judge of what's right and wrong. And so he says, don't pick from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then what do the people do? They're like, hey, like Adam and Eve are tempted by Satan. Do you want to be like God? But the thing is, they were already like God because they were made in his image. But there was sort of this ego boost of like, oh, I can be like God with all this knowledge. And so we can see this in so many different areas of our life. And I'm going to give you some examples of where we can almost like taste of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in our life, where we get in that hamster wheel of being under the law and kind of peddling of like, kind of like almost like we have so much information on something, but that we don't have the grace to fully implement it. So an example would be in the area of nutrition and wellness. If you guys know Gwyneth Paltrow, she was sort of criticized a bit. I actually think she's great, but she was kind of criticized a bit because of the wellness culture. It was almost this obsession with longevity and being healthy and fine lines, wrinkles, like how do you, you know, live at your optimist, like, and be the best version of you. And you guys, like, wellness is so good for us. Like, we need to learn, you know, how to be healthy and understand our sleep and understand what vitamins to take to feel at our best. But where it gets distorted and where we go into perfectionism is when there's like an obsession of like, oh my gosh, I'm learning in every, we become obsessive about like in every food that we're eating, what's bad. And like, we become so consumed with that. And we become hypervigilant in that area. Another area for me, like, and how many know, like, this is a good thing to be like, care about nutrition and wellness. Like, that is a good thing, but it's when it becomes distorted into like, this has become under the law, this has become a heavy weight on my shoulders, and I'm obsessing about this thing. And so another area that I think I connect with a lot is the emotional health world. So I have learned so much about inner healing, emotional health. And sometimes like if I am feeling a pain point in my life, I can obsess of like, is this my attachment style? And maybe if I was this more securely attached, this would be happening in my relationships. And I can get down like this rabbit hole of like doing courses and trying to obsess on like how to fix myself. And it's so helpful to know about your attachment style. I have a podcast like that is all about introducing these kind of topics to you guys, but when it becomes about obsessing about fixing myself, I'm actually reinforcing a heavy weight on me that I am not good enough and I'm not worthy until I fix this area in my life. So wholehearted living is actually living worthy now, not if, but, or when. It's about actually being worthy of love right now in process. And so perfectionism really cannot stand process, whereas wholehearted living is all about nestling in and trusting your process, trusting that you're in a process. And you're also like, perfectionism is like fixed mindset, like very black and white, whereas wholehearted is more of the growth mindset and you're learning and you're on a path and you can trust that you're in a process and God is guiding you, divine activities are right around you, supporting you with what you need in the moment. And so, yeah, I can get that way when it comes to emotional health. And I've learned since doing this Reclaiming You course that it's actually flight energy where you start OCD looping about fixing something. It's like when we hear someone has a problem and we like, you know, it's a good thing to like hear that someone has a problem and help them. That's actually a really good thing. But if we're in that obsessive like energy, we feel it in our body, like I need to help them, I need to fix them, they need to learn about their attachment style, they need to learn about this supplement that's going to fix that, you know, it's actually like this anxiety driven thing that kind of is like a little confusing to like look at, because you're like, that's a good thing to want to help someone, but am I in this kind of flight fix it energy versus a regulated, they're going to be okay, I trust, like, you know, the timing of me sharing this. And I'll just, this is a side note, because I want to go through a few more scenarios where we can obsess about a good thing that gets distorted into this perfectionistic fix me space. When we're in that energy, like that, oh my gosh, that person has a problem, I need to fix it. Like, here's, oh, these are all the things that this person could do. And we get into that energy in us, the person on the receiving end doesn't feel helped or supported, not often. They actually feel like they're frustrated with me because I'm not getting it and they're trying to recommend a million things and I just feel really missed in this moment. And so while we think we're being helpful, being on the receiving end of that can actually reinforce sometimes the, like, it can be feel patronizing, it can feel like you think I'm broken, you're trying to fix me. And it's the same way in reverse, like when we have that fix it energy and I want to help you and I want to teach you how to do this thing, like if it's coming from a place of dysregulation inside us, that's often when we're going to miss people and we're reinforcing like this, you're broken, we need to fix you type of energy, versus like a place of trust and like, actually, I have some like ideas and resources whenever you're open to hearing it, but like whatever you need in this season, you're going to get people responding to you completely different. And so I think when I'm like that, it's because that's how I feel about me. So when I've been frustrated, how long it's taking me to get this breakthrough in this area, or I'm struggling with something like, and I feel frustrated at being in process about something, I know I'll project that onto someone else that I'm trying to lead or help or coach or whatever. And so having awareness around that, I think, is super important. So coming back to the other areas where I see a lot of perfectionism, and it's like we've eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that is the area of motherhood. I am not a mom, but this is a really real thing where, like, man, there's so many things, and this is a loaded topic. There's so much mom shame, the whole industry, like being on TikTok and social media. And because I work with a lot of mums, like coaching them, there can feel like so much pressure because it is the most precious thing in your life is your children. So we're extra sensitive. And so this is where perfectionism can rear its ugly head, because we can become obsessive in knowing all the right information, because it's coming from this place of like, oh, we really want to protect and nurture our child well. And then you hear all of the, there's all this emotional health out there, like telling us about how much parenting affects like development in life and how much it affects, you know, their future, and you don't want your kids to, you mess up your kids and the pressure. And I just, it becomes this law of living under this burden of like, like you have to be perfect so that your kids never experience pain. And the reality is we live in a fallen world. So it's like you can only do the best that you can. And I know when people are really struggling with breastfeeding and like they're really, really, really struggling and they're like hearing like articles about the best thing to do for your kids is breastfeed, and they're really struggling with it, and then having to make that decision of like not breastfeeding, like, oh, it's such a process. I have like so much compassion for mums who are trying to survive and navigate like their actual life and then having all the good information. I know that that's like definitely an area where we can like get obsessive of like, am I doing it right? Because, you know, the stakes are high and do feel high. But the beautiful gift is, and there's multiple areas where this can be a thing. I mean, it's huge in Christianity. It's huge in religion, like where we become so obsessive around like doing everything perfectly that because we're so afraid that we're, you know, abusing grace or whatever. Like there's so many things where we OCD loop about trying to do every single thing well that it actually becomes this idol in our life where we feel like we have to be this perfect person. Something that's so assuring to me is that I believe God is our healer and the Holy Spirit is called our counselor. And so when I find myself obsessing about all the things I need to implement, like, and I find myself feeling just exhausted or worn down that I have so much to change in my life and so much to overcome to be this ideal fantasy version of myself, I actually like surrender to the Holy Spirit and I invite Him to bring things along my path at the right time. So I think that when we trust that there is divine guidance in our life, we surrender to that process versus the perfectionist of like, I'm finding out more information that I should be doing to be the better parent, or I'm finding out more information I wish I had have known this 20 years ago about my health. And those are real feelings and often we need to grieve that feeling. But when we get on the treadmill and we feel like there's so much we need to change in our life and all the people in our life need to change, like it can come so overwhelming. And so for me, I just find peace in surrendering to like, I'm going to be growing in love for the rest of my life. And love is ultimately the thing that heals me. And so if I can partner with the God of love that is made me, designed me, knows all of my weakness and how to support me, then I can surrender to the Holy Spirit's plan of highlighting, hey, let's learn about this theory right now, or let's invite this counselor to work with for this season of your life, or he brings in a mentor, or like there's this beautiful orchestration like that is constantly happening behind the scenes of your life. And when we get into fix it mode, we actually say, oh, I don't trust that there's some guidance in my life that's orchestrating the right people at the right time. And I can trust that I will, once I'm ready to like work through that issue, like there will be grace and there will be support and provision to be able to actually be able to help me on that journey. And so it's kind of like if you are a new parent and you're obsessing and freaking out about when your kid's going to be a teenager, you just have to trust that you have the resources and look for the opportunities and resources that you have right now for the season that you're in, and then trusting and surrendering that you will have what you need when you're ready to raise teenagers. And so I think that that has given a lot of peace to me being able to settle into being in process rather than trying to have everything figured out in my life. And I have so much compassion for people who really have high standards and want to be the best. But then I also see that it becomes almost like a curse, and where this perfectionism wreaks havoc on relationships, it wreaks havoc on your soul, because we were never made to be perfect. Like, we're not. And so, you know, there's sort of this idea out there, and I'm still kind of like thinking through what I believe about it, but I think with wholehearted, being wholehearted is believing that you're enough. And there's part of me, especially going through my own leadership journey of, and in some ways, like being a leader is like being a parent, because you get confronted with all of your weakness. I think there was something actually that brought peace in knowing that I'm not enough and accepting that. So what I mean by that is, I can't be enough to fix people's pain. I can't be enough to make this situation change for someone else. Like, there's certain things, like I noticed I was in dynamics where I could feel there was like this expectation on me to heal them or fix them or be this friend that's going to climb inside someone's wound and make them never feel rejected again. And I realized, like, oh, I've through people pleasing, because I think perfectionism and people pleasing are such sisters, like they're from rooted in shame of like, if I am enough, then I can heal someone or fix someone or have someone never feel pain again. And Brené Brown says that perfectionism is like a shield. It's really trying to, it's this lie that if I act perfect, do everything perfect, then I'll never feel pain. And the reality is that we live in a fallen world, and we're all going to be learning. We're going on a journey of learning and growing. And perfectionism says that you should already be grown. You should already have arrived. And so I think there's something beautiful about actually learning how to process pain and learning how to accept that pain is a part of the human experience, and it's actually what wires and connects us all as humans. It actually brings us together. Whereas I see, you know, people who really struggle with perfectionism, especially if it's like keeping up with the Joneses, you want to come across like you've got your life together, got your marriage together, got everything together. Like, it's so lonely, and it's why, you know, people turn to substances, because they feel so alone in it. And the way, I think the bridge to go from being a perfectionist to being wholehearted is, the bridge is vulnerability. You've got to cross the bridge of vulnerability to actually show up authentically and to be loved. Learn how to let love into those weak places. And that is like such a brave journey. And it's definitely easier said than done. But I know for me, like learning the, because I've been so wired to believe like, when I do this, then I get this. When I do all X, Y, and Z, then I will get my dreams. Like, because there's an element of truth to that. Like, when you do certain things, you do get results, hopefully. But it's when we are hustling for our worth, and it's such a subconscious thing, when we don't realize like we're actually worthy now, we're acceptable now, and we can access that place, it's almost like a counterintuitive thing. Like acceptance isn't resignation. It's actually just connecting to reality. And when we, like the scripture that says the truth will set you free, what that word truth means is reality. So sometimes we can live in a fantasy world of our ideal self and who we should be. And we can live like so like desiring that and so disassociated that we can't actually connect with our reality. That's why it's so hard to be present, is because sometimes like we're not really like it feels really uncomfortable to connect to the person in the mirror. But I think a way to start is actually learning how to let love in to who you are now, not later when you're perfect. And it really starts with you, because you're the gatekeeper of love in your life. And so I remember hearing, and I've said it a few times on the podcast, is you can tell how much someone loves themselves by how willing they are to be in process. And so for me, I've had to really shift the way that I connect and relate to myself around goals. So helping me, like, because I'm always going to be like, how do I develop myself more or grow more? But the thing that I'm trying to connect to is that love in the present moment, that I'm actually lovable now, not when I'm perfect and have it all together. And the beautiful thing is, like, when you do learn to be wholehearted, you actually live so connected, so much more connected to joy, because joy is something that you have to let in, because often with a perfectionist like performance mindset, joy is like, you know, something that you earn and it's never attainable. But joy is so available when you are in your most human moments. I remember like sharing some of my moments where I felt the most beautiful is when I've been the most messy as a human. And it's when I've been around someone that's loving and non-judgmental and pulls me higher and sees the best. And when they see my humanity and my messiness, like that's when I feel most beautiful. And I think, you know, someone once said to me, take off your mask, you have a beautiful face. And I remember feeling like kind of exposed, like I'm not being fake, like I'm not fake. But I realized like I have lived a lot of my life with self-protection, trying to like edit myself to different environments. And I think that self-preservation of like, I need to come across as wise, or I need to come across like I know what I'm doing, like all of those roles that we put on ourselves, like are really like reinforcing this idea that we're not beautiful as we are. And I think the more we lean into our humanity and where we're at and actually learn the art of self-acceptance, we become so much more beautiful to people around us. Because people feel really safe with people who have great levels of self-acceptance. And so I guess in closing, I just would love people to kind of connect to this idea that you're worthy now and you're so worthy of love and kindness. And it usually starts with something that happens like behind closed doors. And it doesn't happen, like I think there's also the opposite of like, I feel like I need everyone to love me and accept me when I'm being really destructive. And I think there's an unhealthy self-love message out there that says that you can totally be like blowing up people's lives and you demand love, you should be loving me right now. But the thing is, like, it starts with you. Will you let love in, and will you let acceptance in? And I think sometimes it's, for me, it's actually more started in like therapy or in a coaching setting where you're learning to let compassion into your messy places, because it helps you actually have that relationship with yourself. And then you start showing up in relationships around you where you can be a bit more messy and you can be a bit more human, but also like not expecting and putting it on people that they should love you and accept you. Like, actually, that starts with you. And so, and I think that we teach people how to treat us all the time. So if you have self-rejection, then often you're going to experience rejection from people around you. But if you learn to have some self-acceptance and some self-love, you'll start receiving love from people around you. Anyway, I hope this podcast has been helpful. And if anything, I just, my heart for you guys is for you to come out from the weight of perfectionism and come into the space of wholehearted living. So if you're interested, I've taught on this topic for many years, and it's something that I am consistently on a journey of living and cultivating in my own life. If you're interested in coaching, you can always reach out. I love coaching people through living wholehearted versus perfectionist. So anyway, feel free to share this podcast with your friends, get it out there, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.